Al-Shabaab terrorists continue to undermine security across Somalia as the government tries to build up its institutions and make the country more economically self-sufficient. That's according to the head of the UN assistance mission there, UNSOM, Michael Keating, who spelled out that a multidimensional effort to build an accountable, affordable state is well underway. He noted that while the African Union mission in Somalia, AMISOM, has been protecting the political space, a deal must be made and extra funding secured before transferring responsibility for security over to the National Army. Mr. Keating outlined how the UN's working with the government and National Independent Electoral Commission to prepare a roadmap towards elections in 2020. He spoke to Liz Kafidi ahead of presenting the Secretary-General's latest report on Somalia to the Security Council.
We're in the second year of a new government's administration. That government is trying to make the country more economically self-sufficient, cope with the prospect of another humanitarian crisis. It's initiated a big program on the security front to build the capability of Somali security institutions. Not easy at a time when Al-Shabaab continues to be a very big threat. Luckily, we have AMISOM troops there who've done such a good job in protecting the political space. But we're looking at the future of AMISOM, in particular how it can be funded going forward. And then on the political side, the real challenge is to build institutions that all Somalis trust, whether it's police or army or education or agriculture or rule of law. We're in the middle of a very multidimensional effort to build an accountable, an affordable state.
And what's the situation with regard to the threat of famine and the shortage of funds to cover humanitarian needs?
Well, the success story is that in 2017, a year ago, we thought that there may be a repeat of the disastrous famine of 2011-2012, in which up to 250,000 people died of starvation. And thanks to total mobilization by the Somalis and leadership by the new government, but also enormous generosity by the international community, famine was averted. The aid community was very forward-leaning, used the private sector, deepened its ability to reach people and allow people to reach those who had humanitarian assistance. Unfortunately, now, 1 year later, even though famine was averted, there's the possibility that there will be more weather-related shocks, compounded possibly by local conflicts. And the population is in much worse shape now than it was a year ago to withstand those shocks if, as is probable, they take place. People have sold their camels, they've sold their goats, to the degree that they had relatively better off relatives, they no longer do. And it's going to be very difficult mobilizing that money from the international community. 1.5 billion has been appealed for in the last week.
Turning back to security, some recent reports have described Somalia as the next major front in the so-called Islamic State's global campaign of insurgency and terrorism. How much of a threat does Islamic State pose?
I think it may be a bit of an exaggeration to say it's the next front. Having said that, one should never underestimate the possibility that things could go badly wrong. I mean, right now, ISIS presence is relatively modest. There are reports that it's growing, that people are being recruited to ISIS, and that some of them are even leaving the country. But it is a threat to Al-Shabaab because it's a different brand, and Al-Shabaab is very determined to try and contain that threat. So while the risk at the moment is modest, it's got to be taken very seriously because it could grow. And events in Iraq and Syria and elsewhere mean that Somalia might become more attractive to certain people who are looking for places in which to continue what they see as their cause.
How are efforts progressing to have the Somali National Army take over security for the AMISOM troops?
Well, the good news is that the government has just done a review of the capability of the Somali National Army, and that was a brave thing to do because it's revealed that that capability is fairly limited. That of the 28 or 29,000 people on the army payroll, perhaps only about a third of those are really in a position to today fight in organized units, properly equipped, and so on. So the good news is, as a baseline, the more challenging issue is how do you go from here to a point at which the Somalis trust their security institutions, and that requires a political deal, but also that they're properly financed, led, equipped, and so on. So there's a very long way to go. In the meantime, AMISOM is there, playing a really important role protecting cities and main supply routes. But as I mentioned, there's an issue about where the funding for AMISOM is going to come from after 2018.
There have been reports of renewed tensions over the contested area of Sul. Where do things stand with that now?
As we speak, the forces from Somaliland and the forces from Puntland are arrayed against each other. They can allegedly see each other. So we're really worried that even if the political leaders on both sides recognize that the kind of problems that they have cannot be resolved ultimately by military means, they require a political solution, that something could happen that could result in deaths and casualties and population displacement and a deterioration of the relationship between those two places. This is unfortunate because the new president of Somaliland and the current president of Somalia have both committed themselves to a process of dialogue. So the last thing we need is violence in Sul. Both sides have reasons for it not wanting to happen. Maintaining forces is very expensive, and I think deep down they realize that you can't resolve these things through violence. But both leaders are facing domestic constituencies that want to see action, including, many of them, the threat or actual execution of the threat to take the fight to the other side.
How is the UN helping the government and its institutions to prepare for one person, one vote elections in 2020?
The electoral process requires a number of features. First of all, there's got to be the right legislation. Secondly, there's got to be political consensus to what kind of electoral model. Is it proportional representation or first past the post? There's got to be agreement on the size of the constituencies. Is it one national constituency, or is it states, or is it regions? There also has to be agreement on voter registration, whether it's electronic, which can be expensive, or manual. And there also has to be an agreement on how do you deal with areas where insecurity is such that people can't vote. And the UN is working with the National Independent Electoral Commission and the government to help the Somalis move down a plan, a roadmap for addressing all these issues. I mean, it's ultimately a Somali responsibility. They're leading this. But the UN, through an integrated approach to elections involving the political guys and the capacity people helping build the institutions that many of us take for granted in our countries, you know, we just assume they exist. Well, you know, somebody's got to actually strengthen those institutions so that they can play these roles. So the UN is heavily involved, using funding from many donor countries to help the Somalis move forward.